With no fees or minimums, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than deciding to listen to another episode of your favorite podcast. And with no overdraft fees, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC. Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and this is Short Stuff, and we're talking about firewalking, which is interesting because you can explain how it works, and I love those.
I was convinced we had done this, but we have not.
No, we haven't.
I just felt, I don't know, I thought it fell into our circus arts or
It does seem something. Like a 2010, 2011 circus stuff you should know episode, like a full episode, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's not a circus arts thing at all.
No.
You know, I don't think it, I mean, maybe like a Jim Rose circus might do something like this, but it is generally sort of a religious thing in most cultures, right?
Yeah, and they think that it dates back at least 32-ish hundred years. The first mention of it is in an ancient Indian text from around that time. And either it spread out of there. I've seen some theories that it actually predated that. It was one of the things that the Mesopotamians and Neo-Babylonians did, and then it just kind of spread from there. Or people invented it independently because it has spread all over the world over the last couple thousand years.
Yes. These days, India, Greece, China, Spain, Japan, Bulgaria, Thailand, Tibet, Fiji, it's all over the place. And it's almost always a religious thing, like you're paying tribute to somebody who has passed, or you are commemorating what you see as a miracle in your area, some sort of celebration or parade. There might be a firewalker, but it's usually got some sort of religious, spiritual connotation.
A firewalker in a parade would be hilarious because that poor guy would just have to keep running to the back of the float and walking over it again and then running back. That'd be a long parade for that guy.
Oh, I was thinking more along the lines of the entire parade has to walk. There's one portion that's on fire.
Yeah, all the spectators have to go down this way. Come over here.
And we said on fire, spoiler alert, there's never flames. It's coals.
Right. And we can thank our friends at the University of London Council for Psychical Research back in the 1930s for figuring that out. And they did that, Chuck, by conducting two different experiments on firewalking, in which they also participated, too.
Yeah, they're not mean. But what they did was, in both of these experiments, in 35 and 37, they got a couple of British scientists and then, you know, someone from a native culture, like in India or someplace. Mm-hmm. And they basically, the whole point of the study was like, see, white British man did it, too. It's not religious or special.
Right. But they were skeptical societies, I think, is what they were doing.
Yeah, and I'm sure they didn't rub it in like that. But,
you know.
800-degree fire pit. Mm-hmm. And in those two separate years, they basically, I think they use oak. And the whole point of it was to kind of just debunk the, like, you have to be, I don't know about possessed, maybe that's too strong of a word, but guided by a spirit to do so.
Guided by voices.
That's right.
So, That at the very least in the West, those two studies put that to rest permanently. And they did it so thoroughly, Chuck, that for about, I don't know, 40, 50 years, people in the West, I should say in the United States and Great Britain, didn't think much about this whole thing. They just were like, firewalking's been explained, whatever. And then as our friends in the New Age community kind of came along in the 70s and 80s, they adopted firewalking and apparently had never read the two studies by the University of London Council for Psychical Research because they started attributing it to a more metaphysical explanation. And that's when interest in debunking it kind of came around again.
That's right. And I think this is a good time for a cliffhanger because we have danced around the fire and not revealed the secret to why it has nothing to do with religion or spirituality. It's pure physics, and we'll explain it right after this. Hey everybody, Chuck here. Are you thirsty? Well, before you take a sip, have you stopped to think about what's in your water? Many conventional bottled waters contain PFAS, harmful substances known as forever chemicals.
Yeah, but you can drink water as clean as nature intended with Richard's Rainwater.
That's right. Richard's Rainwater collects 100% pure, refreshing drops of rain. Yes, it really is rain. Richard's Rainwater is caught clean before it hits the ground or becomes polluted with pesticides and contaminants that are commonly found in groundwater.
And since rain is naturally pure, there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. That means Richard's Rainwater contains no added fluoride, no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Just pure drops of rain.
That's right. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater and the long-lasting cold pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater, perfect for sipping or mixing into your favorite cocktail. Just visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. Enjoy pure, refreshing rainwater. Sip the sky.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to Pure Physics.
Yeah, and since we're talking about Pure Physics, I want to give a shout out to Professor David Willey, who's a physics professor. I believe it's Willey. It could be Wiley. W-I-L-L-E-Y.
Yeah, I think it's Wiley.
I'm thinking of Willie Ames from Charles in Charge.
Oh, right.
But Professor Wiley is a physics of firewalking guy. He has dedicated a certain portion of his career to explaining how it works and doing firewalking himself. So thanks a lot to Dr. Willey, because basically everything we're talking about is based on his research.
Dr. Wiley.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's explain how this works. There are quite a few components that go into a successful firewalk, which is to say one where you don't end up with burns on your feet. The first thing that you got to start with is charcoal that is lit well before you walk over it. I sort of spoiled it earlier when I said there are no flames, mm-hmm. but when you see a firewalker, they're walking over hot coals, not a real flaming fire. And these are embers that they're walking over. So right out of the gate, you've got a bit of an advantage in that there's not direct contact with a flame.
Well, a huge advantage too, but also the embers themselves. So you've got no flame. It's a big one. Just put that in your hat. Here's the second one for your hat. Those embers themselves are actually really good insulators. The type of wood that's typically used for firewalking, and you want to use specific kinds of wood, they glow really bright, but they actually don't conduct heat very well.
Right. And I think the top two woods are cherry or maple mm-hmm. for good-looking coals that'll yep. get the crowd whipped up into a frenzy.
Right, exactly.
But not super hot.
No. And because there's also a layer of ash that coats them. Here's the third part for your hat.
Right. I think the investigator would say, You notice they don't do this during the day.
Right.
Because you'd see that ash all over the place. But at night, that ash sort of goes away to the eyeball, mm-hmm. and it makes for a better show. But that ash is going to also provide a buffer and cut down on that heat transfer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then the last one, and this one's pretty important too, there's actually a really limited amount of time that your feet is making contact with the hot embers, because they are hot. Like these fires that you're walking over, if you hold a thermometer, it's going to register something like 900 to 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, 482 to 538 degrees Celsius. So it is hot, but again, it's not conducting that heat very well to your feet, and then your feet aren't touching them very long to begin with.
Yeah, there's a reason it's not called fire sitting.
Yeah, fire standing. Although, around.
There may be a thing. Who knows? Watch, someone will write in and say, oh, no, bro, fire sitting's totally a thing.
I work for the Jim Rose Sideshow, and I do fire sitting.
It's fire walking. You want to walk across it at a brisk pace. They do say don't run. Mm-hmm. And by the way, let's just go ahead and PSA here and say, or COA, and say, please don't try this.
Thank you for doing that.
Kids, don't try and firewalk. Just don't do it. But if you are a firewalker or you see someone doing it, they are walking at a brisk pace, mm-hmm. but you don't want to run, because they make the good point that, you know, you could actually dig in when you're running more than if you're just sort of hot footing it.
Right.
I guess that's where the word comes from.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can end up with coals on top of your foot or just digging down too deep. So they say you walk less than a half a second of contact on a 10 to 15 foot firewalk.
Yeah.
So it's only a few seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. So those four things together are basically the physics of firewalking. But even if you're not well versed in the physics of firewalking and you hold a firewalking event, it can go wrong. And that actually has happened from time to time. Most recently, from what I can tell, was in 2012, where 21 people were treated for burns at a Tony Robbins event, right?
He's doing this?
At least in 2012. Are you surprised by that? Have you seen Shallow Hal?
I haven't seen Shallow Hal.
No, you're not missing much.
But I don't know. I knew he's a motivational speaker. I did not know he did stuff like this.
Yes, dude. Yes,
I didn't know.
This is his whole jam is stuff.
I thought he just got on a stage and just, you know, made people feel good.
Random stuff like this is no. He's very hands on.
Okay.
He had a TV show once that we had to cover for some reason back in the day. Do you remember that?
It came in my mind today, and all I could think of is, what did we do with Tony Robbins? Did we interview him?
We interviewed him.
I think you did. I don't think I did.
Yeah, but I don't remember whatever happened with the interview. But in the TV show, in the first episode, the pilot of this, there was a man who became paralyzed when he jumped into his pool after his wedding ceremony. He was so excited he jumped in a pool and landed head first and became paralyzed.
Ugh.
Tony Robbins talks this guy into skydiving. And if I remember correctly, essentially pushed him out of the plane.
That's right.
Tony Robbins is a very hands-on, motivational guy.
So anyway, in 2012, 21 of his the people at his thing walked on fire, I guess, had to get treated for burns.
Mm-hmm.
This made me want to try it. And you know why I won't?
Why?
Is because it's the bottom of my feet. If something did go wrong, then I'm not walking for a little while, or I'm walking in a lot of pain.
Right.
It's not like a pain on my forearm or something, you know?
Is it actually worth it?
No. That's why I said I'm not going to do this, because I'm going camping tonight. And I was
No, dude, no.
Should I pull out all the stops?
You understand the physics of firewalking. Who are you trying to impress at this point? Emily?
No, she won't be there. All my dumb friends from 25 years ago.
Yes, you should definitely firewalk.
No, I'm never going to do it.
They're
going to
be so impressed, dude. You have to.
Stop.
Just remember to use some cherry or what was the other one?
Maple, I think.
You got maple up there?
No, it's a bunch of hardwoods.
Yeah, you don't want those. They'll burn off too quick or else too hot. You want to use cherry or maple, like you said. And if you don't have it, don't firewalk.
My old friend Jason Jenkins jumped through the fire one time in a drunken fit late night on a camping trip.
Did he melt like Snegurochka?
No, he was fine. He jumped right through it. But I remember thinking dude, if you would have tripped and landed in that fire, all of a sudden this trip is ruined.
Which is another problem with firewalking. If you do trip, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't firewalk. I was really just joking when I was encouraging you to.
No, I know.
Okay. Well, I think that's it for short stuff, don't you?
It sounds like it's out to me.
It is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.